it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
So good, so good, so good.
Just in, thousands of winter arrivals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 70% on coats, slippers, and cashmere from Kate Spade, New York, Vince, UGG, Levi's, and more.
Check out these boots.
They've got the best gifts.
My holiday shopping hack? Join the Nordy Club.
Get an extra 5% off every Rack purchase with your Nordstrom credit card. Plus, buy it online and pick it up in-store the same day for free. Big gifts, big perks. That's why you Rack.
Welcome, welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. I am Kirk Henderson, joined by Josh Bowe. We are coming to you a little bit after 10 o'clock on October 11th. It's a Saturday night. The Dallas Mavericks just played their second preseason game, this time to the Charlotte Hornets. They fell 120 to 116. And Josh, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay, hanging in there.
Let's not lie. Both of us had shit-tastic days. Yeah.
This was just the topper we needed to
Man, I dread bad basketball. Like, I love summer league just because it's like the concept, but then there's something, and then I look forward to summer league, and then the games start, and then I'm like, I hate summer league. It's really been the same thing with preseason, where I was so happy to have basketball, and then I sort of dreaded this game, and this game was pretty fun, I thought. Like,
oh, yeah, in a vacuum. I mean, it felt like a real game more than preseason games normally do. Like, a lot of players played. It was definitely more real of a game than the OKC game.
Yes.
Where OKC played, you know, basically no one. Like, Charlotte played, you know, both teams played their starters deep into the third quarter. I think the Mavs played theirs through the third quarter. So it was at least something, felt more tangible. You know, Saturday's game against the Thunder was fun, but that felt like a scrimmage. In a sense. But boy, I don't think you could have scripted two preseason games back to back to kind of show what the highs of this team could potentially look like and then what the lows of this team could look like. So I'm curious where you want to start first, because we could start positive, we could start negative,
Let's walk through the first two thirds of the game before the team started to clear their bench, because I think it's important to provide a little bit of context. I know, like, recapping a preseason game probably sounds stupid, but Kid talked about in the pregame how he was going to give more run to his starters, and obviously the Charlotte, or at least like your top half of the rotation guys. Charlotte did the same. So I think, like, yeah, you'd mentioned this, like, we got a lot of like actual preview of what, if this was a real game, we would have seen more of what we saw those first two quarters. And the Mavericks came out and just didn't defend. And, you know, we know that the team is built to basically stop paint penetration and force long jumpers. But if you're going to force long jumpers, you also have to defend long jumpers. And the Hornets came out and shot 6 of 10 from 3. I mean, just torched the Mavericks. And that torching sort of broke down their interior defense because they started scrambling more on the outside. At least this is what I saw. I'm interested in your take. And all of a sudden they were down 17 points. Like, it was bad. So what did you see there early on?
It was, you know, it's the stuff that we talked about that you worry about with playing a big team is what happens when they go against a team that likes to spread it out and shoot a bunch of threes. And you look at the Charlotte starting lineup, you look at like a player like LaMelo Ball. I mean, they played a pretty small, I mean, they started their second round rookie, Kalk Brenner, at center, and then, you know, Miles Bridges and Brandon Miller at the wings, and then they played LaMelo Ball and Colin Sexton in their backcourt. They didn't really play a traditional quote-unquote power forward, although, to be honest, in today's NBA, Anthony Davis might be seen as the untraditional power forward, considering he's the one who kind of sticks out at the four more than when you compare it to other teams. But they played a small, fast team with four shooters and spread things out, and LaMelo looked awesome. And that's what you kind of worry about, because you look at the Mavericks starting backcourt and it's D'Angelo Russell and Klay Thompson, and it's like, who is guarding LaMelo Ball there? And it's
LaMelo, like, you Ball want to put- big too. Like, he's a 6'8" guy.
Yeah.
Who takes crazy fucking shots too. Those one-legged threes.
Oh, yeah, he made a one-legged three. That was wild. But yeah, I mean, they spread him out, and you know, the big thing was they spread him out and made threes, but they also got a ton of offensive rebounds. They had 15 offensive rebounds. A lot of that, you know, two of them from the starting lineup. Hold on, I'm trying to look. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to see. Yeah, a lot of them were from the starting lineup.
I mean, Kalkbrenner
had two, Miles Bridges had two, Kalkbrenner had four, Sexton had one. So here's what I saw is, so not only, this is a problem.
Welcome back to Pod Maverick After Dark. This is going to be a group therapy session. Haven't had to do one of those in a very, very, very long time. I am Kirk Henderson. Welcome once again to Pod Maverick's group therapy, the show where we complain about the Dallas Mavericks because they lost. I'm not that mad, though. It was a preseason game. It is what it is. But we got to stick with branding of our shows here. If you're unfamiliar with our shows, this is the one where you can join and talk to me directly. There's a link in the YouTube Live, really easy to click into. I'll probably share it a couple of other places, Twitter and whatnot. You can join a room. I bring you up here to talk with me. And if you are at all familiar with how to use technology, it's easy to do through your phone or through your computer. You don't have to show your face, though. I do like talking to something other than a blank screen. And we'll hang out until all of the takes are out of us. It is Saturday night, about 10:45. I got my guy Brian waiting. So we'll start off with Brian, and everybody else that wants to join, please do. What's up, brother?
Nah. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound good.
Okay. What the fuck did I just watch, dude?
I had a good time. It was weird.
It was a good time when Anthony Davis was not on the court. It was definitely weird. It was fun watching our front court of the future play together. There's not a single person with the letter G next to their name on the roster that will be here in like a year or two. So I don't know what's going to happen with the guards. Max Christie stunk. D'Lo wasn't good.
Talk to me. Okay, I saw you that. So maybe I just wasn't watching correctly. Talk to me about – Tanya in the chat was also saying this. What did Max Christie do to us today? What happened?
Well, the first way to answer that is nothing, which is kind of the problem. The second way is really in a lot of the same way that Tanya put it in the chat. He was making the wrong decision almost every single time off the catch as far as what he needed to do. offensively. Okay. And then on defense, he was the exact same fake Josh Green point of attack defender that we figured that he was. And that's, you know, that's kind of disappointing, but that is what it is. We kind of figured out that's what that was last year. I'm not really expecting much from him on defense, but if he's not going to hit shots and then he's not going to make the correct decision to attack off the catch, I don't know what he's out there for. He's just like a body.
So you know? Funny, because we were so high on him, and I think we might get there again. He played so much last year. He came into Dallas. He had that kind of crazy 15-point game streak to start his play with the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. And if you go look at the data, it's kind of obvious that he was just connecting on a lot of long twos, which unless you're Dirk Nowitzki, Joel Embiid, or Steph Curry, or Kevin Durant, like just doesn't matter.
Not sustainable.
Because yep. It's just not sustainable. It's not that it's terrible, but it's just not great. But it's funny about Christie because when I go through my rotation guys, I have him in the like 9th to 10th man range right now. And I don't really see how he works into higher because he's not consistent enough at anything that the Mavericks need right now. Like they need some things. Don't get me wrong, but it's just, he's not that answer, at least not right now.
Yeah, and like I would like to see him next to like an actual playmaker in most of, if not all of his minutes. Mm-hmm. It's tough when they're trying to run the offense through AD or shoving him in the corner where his man can like freely help off of him because he's not going to fucking do anything from the corner. He's not going to shoot. Who cares? Let him shoot, right? So, yeah, this offense thing is going to be wonky, but that's not even the frustrating part. The frustrating part, well, I mean, it's part of it because I fucking told people this is what it was going to look like. The stupid double big shit that they're trying to commit to was going to look stupid and look wonky against any team with any kind of reasonable, like, shifty scoring guard play, right? Or any power forward with any kind of speed or lateral ability, he who shall not be named. But if you go on the other end, right, there was so much walking on defense. There was so much looking around and pointing and turning in place at the free throw line. And it all came from like two people.
Let's name them. It's fine.
Okay. Like, obviously, is Anthony Davis.
I know one of them. I'm curious, is the other one. I'm trying to think.
I'll save it on the other guy because he was trying. Okay. At a certain point, the plot was lost, and it's like, okay, you can't really regain it. And it's not like one of our core guys anyway, so I'm not really sweating it. It was D-Lo. It was D-Lo. Like, and it's fine because I was expecting him to perform poorly on defense. He wasn't giving, like, terrible effort the entire time he was out there. He just wasn't good, and that's fine because he mostly did what we needed him to on offense. He didn't make shots, but he did everything else. And it's like, you know what? This is kind of the D-Lo experience. You know, it's hot and cold. This is a cold game, and it coincided with Anthony Davis running out there looking like me. So, you know, it just is what it is. I'm not going to harp on him too much because I'll expect him to be better going forward because I can, because he came into training camp in shape and at the very least is going to be in shape and knowing the plays by the time we get to the start of the season. I can't say that for number three. And he's kind of like holding up everything on both ends. Like, okay, we can't use all the extra size that we have in this double big lineup to be a legitimately great rebounding team because just because you're tall doesn't mean you're getting too long rebounds and you're getting too even like shorter rebounds that are like around the rim. If it's like 5-6 feet away from him, he's not getting to it. The other team is.
So how much of that is preseason?
Here's the thing. With the way he looks right now, I'm not willing to chalk any of it up to preseason.
Okay.
Because if he looks like this in 2.5 weeks, that's what's going to happen no matter who we play in the regular season. Because the other team is going to be playing hard, too. The other team lollygags during preseason, too. And we still got our faces raised off by the Charlotte Hornets starters.
Oh, Miles Bridges always seems to just be like, fuck Dallas. I don't.
it's because we usually don't have like a power forward who's nearly as like athletic as he is. And we sure didn't have it tonight, at least not when Anthony Davis was in there. We looked a lot better when it was PJ and Cooper and Lively. And so we had three dudes who either were bigger than him. Well, yeah, all three of them are bigger than him. Bigger than him, about as fast as he is, strong and athletic, and could, like, keep pace with him. When Anthony Davis was out there, it was free eats. He was, like, a Jokic-level turnstile at the free throw line. It was real bad.
I don't know. You're more fired up about this than I am. I was more... I don't know. I guess I did get all of my my frustration out about Anthony during. It's to me, it effort fixes so much on a basketball court. It really does. Like effort, it's why I like watching Najee Marshall, because he just sort of plays with a pretty consistent high motor. That's why effort is what takes Flag into the generational category, because he's kind of a psycho.
Now, effort is why PJ Washington was one of the best defensive rebounders in the league last year.
Yeah,
he's one of the best rebounders on the team.
Coming from a Charlotte team where he had developed some sort of lethargic habits, and it turns stuff around. And so I'm sort of trying to hedge when I'm discussing this, because I don't want to say, oh, I don't think it'll happen in the regular season, because part of me is like, we've seen some of it in the regular season. And I need these things to work themselves out. And what I really need, and this is the part, this is just me whining, I really need people to stop telling me I'm not seeing the things I'm seeing.
Agreed.
Like, it's just like tape exists. And I dealt with this sort of stuff with Luka defenders when I would criticize him too, where it's like, well, of course he was, you know, giving a soliloquy to a referee because blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I don't care. Like it happened. That's the point. And it's fixable, because some of these things are really just play a little harder. Focus on make the main thing the main thing. And so that's, you know, ranting and raving too much about a preseason game. I think we're running the risk of exposing ourselves a little bit. But I could see why the chat is sort of fired up over this, because I think we just when you play an actual NBA team versus the Thunder's freshman B team, you want to see a little more, and we did in certain spurts from certain groups, and then the other guys, it just didn't look great. And I just don't know how much of this is downhill from like flat out roster construction too. Like, you and I are both, we really enjoy the NFL. And one of the things I enjoy, or at least laugh about when talking with people who don't pay much attention to the NFL, is that there's a kind of a lack of understanding of what happens when one starter of a lineup gets pulled or isn't playing the way they're envisioned to play. It just changes the rest of the way the team plays. Basketball is not quite that stark unless it's your best player.
Right.
That's sort of what...
Unless it's the player everything is oriented around.
Right, right. Our friend SJ said on Twitter tonight that Flag's the best player in the Mavericks right now. And I saw three or four big accounts be like, whoa, 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 whoa. And it's like,
are y'all watching this game? Yeah. Like, and like, that's the thing. Even going back to like your point about effort. Yes, this is preseason. Yes, this is confirmation bias. I don't care. I've been saying this all summer.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Seeing it right in front of my face. But one thing you can't deny, we're talking about effort, we're talking about poor construction. Kurt, who did we name when we are talking about poor effort? Of all the guys on the team that touched the floor tonight, guys got beat, guys got like cooked on the perimeter, but who was out there giving consistently poor effort? It's one dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's AD. It was pretty bad.
He was
a negative 31 at one point, guys. Like,
which I don't know how you do that against the Charlotte.
Well, I mean, he was on the butt end of some runs where he was just not him, but like he was out there during some frustrating parts. But it's downhill from his effort. Like, it is attached to that.
Yep. It's frustrating. It is confirmation bias. I don't care that it's confirmation bias, because it's confirming something that I thought was fairly obvious And everybody yelled at me and told me, like, no, that's definitely not going to be what's going to happen.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
This episode is brought to you by Marshalls, where you never have to compromise between quality and price. The buyers of Marshalls hustle hard, working to bring you great deals on brand name and designer pieces. Because Marshalls believes everyone deserves access to the good stuff. Visit a Marshalls store near you or shop online at marshalls.com.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
Kevin in the chat says something I like, and I think I want to pivot briefly because I just don't want to be a shit for 20 minutes. That's no fun. He says, preseason, people, this is where you try sit and shit and see what works. Winning isn't technically the goal. What did work for you? What were you like, this is good?
So through two preseason games now, Cooper Flagg and PJ and – well, just those two, that works. We can lock it in. That works. We don't have to have any more questions about whether Cooper at the three and PJ at the four, whether you can do that.
Doesn't matter. Works. It's an interchangeable. When those two are on the floor together with the center, and it could be AD. It's Lively, mm-hmm. AD, whoever. Fine. I like it.
Yeah, it looked best tonight with Lively just because Lively was the big that was playing the best. It looked really good when Dwight Powell was out there. It also looked good when Najee was there as a secondary playmaker, mm-hmm. and he was basically playing the two.
Okay.
And Najee was giving like much better effort. Like I was commenting during the stream, the playback, that Najee looked much better and much more active defensively, like so far into this preseason than he did last year, when that was kind of what we brought him in to do as far as like replacing Derrick Jones Jr.'s role as a point of attack defender. He looked a lot more active. His hands were all over the place the way they were kind of used to. And he was still giving us a bit of the ball handling, attacking off the catch, trying to do some of the finishing. Couldn't really get any of the floaters to go down today, but he hit a three off the catch that looked pretty smooth. And so, like, okay, if we're going to get more of that, then you can talk me more into, okay, sure, Clay, you could start, because Clay also, even though he was getting kind of fried on defense, he came in, he had four threes. So
okay,
you're doing your job, right? Regardless, you didn't give up. You weren't playing with poor effort. You got fried, but you kept running back and forth and doing what you were supposed to do, and you knocked out open shots when you needed to. That's all I'm going to ask of Clay at this point. Mm-hmm. And when Najee came in and PJ came in, they ran. They blew the other team's face off for, I don't know, 4 or 5 straight minutes. And then we brought, I think it was like either a full hockey sub or just AD, and I think maybe Mac Christie came back in. And the run was over from there. But I liked what I saw from the two wings that I think we should be carrying forward, like looking into further into the future, just with like Flag and with PJ, but even them and Lively together. And then if you want to rope Najee into that too, that's perfectly fine. They all looked really good together. And I was pleased with what I saw from them on both ends. They were just so versatile. They were so switchable defensively. And they all just looked like they knew what to do with the ball, and they didn't really look like they were trying to sort things out or figure things out offensively. They knew where the ball needed to go. They were quick to make a decision with it. Nobody really held it. It didn't stick anywhere. There are some smaller things you can nitpick between those 3 to 4 guys, but that I liked. I liked a lot.
Okay. What about any is there anything from guys we haven't seen yet that you're interested in that will keep your attention over these next two games?
Guys we haven't seen play?
Or we haven't seen much of. Or like Ryan Nemhart, I'll just give you an example. Like
Okay.
The Ryan Nemhard experience for me,
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, whatever. And I lots of people, my friend Kevin O'Connor is like, oh, I really think he's an NBA player. And I'm just kind of like, I don't hate him. It's not like a gross negative, but given some of the Mavericks point guard issues, I sort of would have figured that he'd get a little more run with the guys who matter. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. And like in some of the clips we saw come from training camp, he did. I just honestly think that until he is like a consistent shooter, until we know for sure he's a consistent shooter, we're probably not going to be able to see him out there, because it's not like he's getting to the rack a lot. Like, he can shoot off the dribble in like the mid-range area, but the guys that we have are barely holding it together as far as spacing as is, especially sure. with like the starting lineup with double big. Right. So if you're going to be out there and you're going to be a guard and you're going to be an undersized guard who isn't like a dog defensively, you need to be able to space. You have to be able to space the four of us. And if the coaches don't think that he can do that, he's not going to get as much run with the big unit, unfortunately. So I could see it happen in the future if his shot improves. And I do think that he's an NBA player and that there's something there with him that we particularly can use. It remains to be seen if we're going to get there, you know, based on
the shot. What about the guy whose name I can't remember that's playing on Monday?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, the 6'9 guy guard, Delano Banton. Thank you.
Oh, Delano Banton.
Yeah. It sounds like a WWE created wrestler on Nitro or something. I don't like, just not a real person. Who is this and why? And I don't know who he is. Talk to me.
He's like a 6'7, 6'8 point guard. Can't really shoot last I saw. And that's kind of really the thing that's kind of had him bouncing around. His last couple of stops from the time that he was a rookie. I don't really know what exactly he does super well. He's a solid defender and has great length. Offensively,
but it's like, I like that you described his game the way the Bobs question everyone in Office Space, where you're like, what would you say you do here, Delano?
Yeah, he's not quite at that level yet. Offensively, I think it's a fair question to ask. Like, what is it exactly that you are going to provide this team that will be enough for the coaches to want to keep you on the floor? I don't know yet. And considering we have, love him to death, but out of shape Dennis Smith Jr., Ryan Nemhard, Brandon Williams on like one hamstring, and D'Lo, I would think that if he like impressed in training camp since the time he'd been brought in, he probably would have gotten some run. Maybe he will in the preseason games upcoming. But, well, yeah, you already said he's playing Monday. We'll see what happens there, and we'll see what he can do. But if he can give us anything at all, and we can just kind of, like, retain some of this, like, tall ball. What's the word I'm looking for? Tall ball mentality that we're kind of going for. And he can give us like anything on offense. Then sure, okay. That's fine. That's fine. I doubt it, but you know, we'll see.
I mean, the Jazz is a perfect team to play guys like this against. Because
yeah, if you can't get your game off against them, then
the Jazz are also just like looking for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, that'll be nice. Really wasn't looking forward to covering these last two preseason games, but now I'm you're showing my interest. All right. Nobody else wants to join tonight. Appreciate you hanging out with me for a little bit. We'll do this again on Monday because I just need to get in the habit, and we're going to get, I'm curious. Some of this is just audience because there's a whole bunch of Mavs fans that are like, I'm not doing this anymore. Meaning like I'm not being a Mavs fan anymore, which was some of our audience. But I mean, I've been doing live shows like this for like 5 years now. So hopefully we'll see some people in here. I just got so lazy by the end of last year because I didn't have anything I wanted to talk about. I was like, I don't want to join and be like,
nobody wanted to talk about that team at the end of the year. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I got real bad about not doing them during the summer, but I also didn't want, like, it's starting to happen already where it's like I'm sharing an Anthony Davis opinion and I just get sniped at from people who don't share my opinion, which is fine. We don't all have to agree, but like just can't handle that other opinions exist. And that's just like, it wears on me after a while. I'm like, I'm glad I didn't do that all summer. Cause it's like, oh, we didn't have any point of reference. Now we got some stuff under the hood here so we can see where we're going. So that'll be back on Monday night. And then They have one more game against the Lakers, a home game in Las Vegas, against the Lakers, who have looked a mess, which could be fun. You know what? Briefly, let's just talk about that in the end. I hate LeBron James. Like, did you see that story Dave McMenamin put out into the universe?
What a story! No, I thought we were talking about
four ways LeBron James's season could go, and it's like I got one way your season could go. Is how I feel about it.
Okay, hold on.
This is all news to me. He has sciatica.
Okay. Yeah.
Sciatica comes for a man that athletic. You are either full of shit or you hurt yourself lifting, which is possible if you've ever seen workout videos of him, because he's just so dangerous. Like, he neither here nor there, but the story basically comes down. I'll send you the clip. It's Dave McMenamin goes on ESPN talking about this story, and it's like acting like LeBron James has any sense of leverage in the situation whatsoever. It's like, he's going to be watching the Lakers very closely. Motherfucker, you are on the team. You are on the team.
What are we doing, man? Dude, here's the thing. I love LeBron. One, he's the greatest basketball player I've ever watched with my own two eyes. Two, he is a content machine. This is
an annoying content machine. Like, this
can be great. It can be annoying. This is definitely on the annoying end of the spectrum.
LeBron James is basketball mom talk. Like just nonsense stuff about should I vaccinate my children?
LeBron is like a walking NBA Facebook post.
He's incredible at basketball. The guy in the comments with the name Best League says he's a great player. There's no question. I want to appreciate LeBron's brilliance, and what that would require is him shutting the fuck up, which has not happened for 24 years. Ever.
That's not going to happen. No,
24 years. He is the Hillary Clinton of basketball. He won't go away. And I just need him to not. Anyway, this isn't a Lakers podcast. I'm sitting here and it's just like, can we stop sucking all the air out of the room? Because it's like then what becomes is like the low-hanging NBA content instead of basketball stuff, which, guys, commenters, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the comments that were in here tonight, because they're basketball comments. They're not bullshit comments. They're thoughts on the play and how the Mavericks can do better. It's not drama. It's basketball. And I love basketball. If I wanted drama, I could go to Netflix and watch Korean sitcom or K-dramas. I could watch all the K-dramas in the world. They're out there. Anyway, this is just
I'm here for both. I love both. This is awesome. We're so back. You're already mad. The season hasn't even started. You're already mad. We're so back.
It's good to hate. It feels good to hate again over something stupid. Like, sports is like the last reason. And this is a good thing. Sports is like the last place where unfounded nonsense is allowed. You can just be like, I don't like that guy because he's going to be watching his team closely. I'll send you the clip when we're out of here.
Please do, because I want to laugh.
Everybody, Kirk. This has been Kirk Henderson, and then Brian. Brian's also a Mavs Moneyball contributor. Thanks for hanging out. Please consider joining the show next time. We will talk with you guys soon. Go Mavs.
Peace.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera! They see us!
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.